things to you so that you may not sin. And if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. And he himself is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for those of the whole world. And by this we know that we have come to know him if we keep his commandments. The one who says, I have come to know him, and does not keep his commandments, he is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps his word, in him the love of God has truly been perfected. By this we know that we are in him. The one who says he abides in him ought himself to walk in the same manner as he walked. Beloved, I am not writing a new commandment to you, but an old commandment which you have had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which you have heard. I'd like to focus on that verse 1 where it says, if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. Webster's Online Dictionary defines an advocate as a person who publicly supports or pleads the cause or case of another, a lawyer or an orator. The Greek word that's used here is parakletos, which means called to one's aid, an advocate, an intercessor, counselor, a comforter, helper, one who pleads another's cause before a judge. The modern-day concept of a lawyer did not exist in ancient Israel, and because there was an absence of law, and not because there was an absence of law, and on the contrary, there was law, God's law, that was given to the nation through Moses at Sinai. Moses was not a bona fide lawyer, but he can see that he places himself in the role of an intercessor numerous times as he pleads with God to not destroy the people and start over. Moses was not the first to do this. We can see Abraham interceded and pleaded and even made a deal with God to not utterly destroy Sodom at first. Probably not the best case to plead, but God allowed him to make it nonetheless. Under the old law, the priests not only offered sacrifices on behalf of the people, they were the intercessors between God and man. Looking back at the Old Testament of ancient Israel, in contrast to Jesus' day, a lot has happened in the world. Civilization, societies have come and gone. Few could probably argue that none before them flaunted this idea of civilized law like that of ancient Greece. This idea of an intercessor, an orator, was not only commonplace, it was actually law, that the accused must have someone plead their case before the court, and to do this for monetary gain was not only forbidden, but actually illegal. In Jesus' day, of course, we see the Romans are the dominant world leaders, and with them came their laws and courts and judicial system. We even see that the Jews have adopted their own version of lawyers because Jesus pronounced woes unto them in Luke 11. He recognizes that they were not there for the benefit of the people, but quite the contrary. They weighed the people down with burdens that they themselves would not bear. Fast forward now to the American judicial system. We have a constitutional right to defend to a defense through the Sixth Amendment, which was ratified in 1791 as part of the Bill of Rights. And in 1966, we see the establishment of what is known as the Miranda Rights, which we've all heard on television and movies. There are constitutional rights that law enforcement must recite to suspects before they are questioned. Of course, the right to remain silent, the right to counsel, and this one here I want to focus on, the right to an appointed lawyer. If you cannot afford one, one will be provided for you at no cost. As Christians, we find ourselves positioned between two worlds. We are present here in the physical world, and we must contend with all that entails, but more importantly, we should find ourselves first and foremost in the spiritual, to be spiritually minded. Spiritually, we have been found guilty, without question, beyond a reasonable doubt. Romans 3:23 says, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Fortunately for us, it doesn't stop there. Verse 24 says, being justified as a gift by his grace through the redemption which is in Jesus Christ. We not only have an advocate in Jesus Christ, he is our high priest. He is our intercessor, who not only is our go-between between us and our God, he was also our sacrifice that satisfied the deficiency of debt caused by our sins. In Hebrews chapter 7, and starting in verse 18, we read, for on one hand, there is a setting aside of a former commandment because of its weakness and its uselessness, for the law made nothing perfect, and on the other hand, there is a bringing of a better hope through which we draw near to God, and inasmuch as it was not without an oath, for they indeed became priests without an oath, but he with an oath through the one who said to him, the Lord has sworn and will not change his mind, thou art a priesthood forever. So much more also Jesus became the guarantee of a better covenant, and the former priest on one hand existed in great numbers because they were prevented by death from continuing, but he, on the other hand, because he abides forever, holds this priesthood permanently. Hence he is able to save forever those who draw near to God through him, since he has always lives to make intercession for them. For it was fitting that we should have such a high priest, holy, innocent, undefiled, separated from sinners, and exalted above the heavens, who does not need daily, like those priests, to offer up sacrifices first for his own sins, and then for the sins of the people, because he did once and for all, he offered up himself, for the law appointed men as priests who are weak, but the word of the oath which came under the law appointed a son made perfect forever. We were found guilty. We could not afford an intercessor. God appointed one for us. And like any other intercessor before then, the man who went before God to plead our case stepped in our place and took our punishment. And it's because of God's great love, he provided a way to satisfy our sentence of death. Our Father and God in heaven, we thank you, Lord, so much for this time that we can come before your table, Lord, and before your throne, and just thank you, God, so much for your great love, for your compassion, for your mercy and your grace, Lord, that you not only thought of us, Lord, but sent your only begotten Son, who was perfect and blameless and undefiled, Lord, to satisfy the immense debt and weightiness of sin, Lord, that we have and that we have accumulated in this world, Lord, that he can satisfy that, Lord, that he can take away our sins, Lord, that we can be cleansed white as snow, Lord. We thank you, God, so much for all these things, Lord, and just please, God, help us as we partake of these emblems, Lord, that represent your body and your blood, Lord. Help us to do so in a worthy manner. And just please, Lord God, help us to not continue in sin, not to sin willfully, Lord, but to be spiritually minded, to pursue righteousness and godliness, Lord. And just please, God, forgive us for when we do sin and fall short. In Jesus' name.